First of all, I wanted to thank Pastor Daniel. I am not a preacher. I'm not even a great orator. But one thing I am is a disciple. And I believe that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ that needs to be poured into and then to pour back out so that others receive that love of Christ. The second thing is, if you hear one thing this morning, I want you to hear that it's a very, very simple message about hope. My key word for this year, 2018, is hope. And as I go further in the message, I hope that you can feel that awesome power of hope from our Lord and Savior. And third of all, the whole purpose behind this, am I speaking loud enough? The whole purpose behind this is to tie in our gratitude from Thanksgiving with the joy of this season, the joy of Christmas. And if we can tie both those two things together in this message, then it's been good. Think about Christmas's past. Think about some of the traditions that you shared in. Maybe that your parents passed on, maybe some that you've established. When you put up the Christmas tree, how you passed out the Christmas cards. Maybe gifts that you have given or gifts that you've received. I know for me, growing up within the church, there was always a Christmas program. There was always poems to memorize, songs to sing. The children would sing, maybe even in a drama that we've had here at Meridian. We had Christmas cantatas. We've had cantatas with drama tied into it. And one thing that seems to be a common theme for most people is we keep a Christmas wish list. So this morning, that's the message, my Christmas wish list, and it's for all of us. So if you would, open your Bibles. The scripture that I've picked on this, for this is Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, 13. I'll give you a minute to open your Bibles if you like that. If not, you can read right along as we read this from the screen. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of His Holy Spirit. My immediate take on this scripture was Paul's description of his God. The God of hope. He uses this unique characteristic or descriptive word of God, and I'm sure we could add more. Maybe the God of love, the God of peace, the God of truth, the God who heals, the God that fulfills promises. But Paul chose the word the God of hope. Webster describes hope as a desire accompanied by expectations of or a belief in fulfillment. The hope we're speaking of here is a hope that's based on our belief in God. For many, though, we choose not to place our hope in God. For so many people in the world, it's more we place that hope within us. We place the hope in what we know. We place that hope in what we can do. Sometimes we even choose to become that God, rely totally on us, and thereby place all hope within us. An example of this could be, there was a young man once who had basically everything going for him. Grew up in a great family. Went to college, got a college degree. Married a wife that he had met at that university. Had great prospects for employment in his field of study. But he ended up with a few issues and problems. He attached himself to some addictive traits, and after several years, yeah, the unspeakable happened. He got a divorce. He didn't get a position in his field, went to work in manual labor, and then increased in his use of his choice of addiction, which were drugs and alcohol. As you can imagine, life began to spiral out of control. He saw arrests. He saw fights. He even saw a gunshot. Life became so tough, hard to handle and manage, that one of his options was suicide. And believe me, there are many people that are facing that very, very huge decision. Hope in ourselves leads basically to hopelessness. Hope in God leads us to life. But more on that story later. Christmas wish number one. I think, can we put our wish list up here? Number one. Oh my goodness, to be filled with His hope. I hope you come every week to hear Pastor Daniel. I'm glad you don't come every week to hear Alan. Alan likes to pray. When Daniel come up, it's like, oh, I wished I was doing that part of the service. And it's easier. And of course, we're all called to do those things that He places in our spirit. But I hope you come to hear. See, the God of hope, as He, the Lord fills us with this thing, this hope, it leads us. It heals us. God is our provision. He is our growth. He is our strength. And in this hope, we become true disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to walk in Your hope. Help us, Lord, to expect great things from You. And teach us, Lord, to submit and rely on You and You alone. The second thing I looked at in this passage was that we're to be filled with all joy and peace. And I thought, how appropriate. We're coming up on the Advent season. We're coming up getting ready to prepare for, you know, this special time of Christmas. It's a joyous time. It's a happy time. It's a time that we get to see family and friends, and the spirit just seems to be one of expectation. In the scripture, in Luke chapter 2, it's the angels speaking to the shepherds. Give them, they said, we bring you good news of great joy. And about peace, the prophet Isaiah says, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. A little footnote right after that, if you read a little bit further, and it says, And of this peace there shall be no end. An endless peace that we can share of. Simply spoken, may we know, may we experience this peace that passes understanding. And it's peace not as the world gives, it's peace that comes from our Heavenly Father. It's peace that you can't sometimes even describe, but it's peace that we're given. And joy, I'm not talking happiness. Happiness depends on my circumstances. I'm talking about joy that comes from God when times are tough, when we hurt inside. But it's joy because it comes directly from a Father who loves and cares for us. The young man I talked about earlier knew no peace. You see, he relied on the positive and negatives in his life. Those positive and negatives determined if life was good or if life was bad, if he was filled with hope or if he was in despair. You see, joy became a short-lived result of earthly passions. Really, not joy. Really, happiness or sorrow. And the further the addictions progressed, the lower his existence became. Peace switched to turmoil, joy fleeting, hope, non-existent. Paul says in Philippians 2:2, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one in purpose." My Christmas wish number two, to be filled with His peace and His joy. Help us, Lord, to show it by being unified and being loving. Scripture tells us that they will know we are Christians by our love. And this, the only way to true peace and true joy. The precious commodity of your presence in our life is joy and peace. The last Christmas wish comes from our participation with God. Note, in the Scripture it says, before filled with joy and peace, and after filled with joy and peace, before overflowing with hope, is this one little line and says, trust in Him. Trust in the dictionary is based on this belief that we can have an assurance of character, strength, or truth, and an assurance of. In other words, I can mark it down. It will happen. It's the way it's going to be. And also talks about placing my confidence in something or someone. When we walk in and with total confidence in God and know and believe all that He can do, then all things become possible. You might recall in the Gospel of Luke that he makes a statement, Paul writes about, that with man, it's impossible. I believe he's talking about salvation. But with God, all things are possible. Note that this trust or confidence comes on our part. We trust and rely on God. We rely because we know of His character, we know of His strength, and we know of His love and care for us. The only thing we do in this particular portion of Scripture, everything else is flowing out of God and His love for us, is this one thing. We trust. We need to trust Him more and more. The byproduct of this relationship, this trust relationship, is to bubble over with hope. I'm not much of a cook, but one thing I can make is mashed potatoes. Yeah, I know how to peel the mashed potatoes. I know how to quarter them, put them in the pan, add some water, and turn it on high, and you put the lid on only for a certain portion of time. Because after that time, if you leave it on too long, it starts to bubble over. It starts to come out the sides. It'll even lift the edge of the pan. I thought of another example, and some of you would remember this. A lot of you think, well, what is he talking about? But how many remember the Tom Terrific? You remember the story? Yeah. Tom Terrific, and he'd get this, and all of a sudden his cap, which I think looked like a funnel to me, would just all of a sudden just bubble over. Yeah. And that's the amount of hope we receive. And we receive that hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. My wish list number three, to be filled with His Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. I think about power a lot. You know, I use power tools. The power we used to have was this thing called a hammer. And you take a nail and you would drive. It's obsolete. You don't do that anymore. You can hook a nail gun up to a compressor and it'll shoot a nail. Or you can get a battery gas-powered nail gun and press it and shoot, and it drives the nail. Now they've got the batteries that you just put a 20-volt battery in, and you just squeeze the trigger, and it drives the nail. The hammer is, it's not a hammer, it's called an adjuster. The wall's a little bit off, you're just moving over. And I never would have thought it would be obsolete, but the times now that I pull a nail out and drive it in, they're just few and far between. But the power of the Holy Spirit, incredible. So as we look at that up there, kind of as a prayer, it's like, Lord, just would you just send your Spirit? He promised it. And let the overflowing love that comes through trusting you be made known to those around us. You understand why we bubble? We don't bubble for us. We bubble for others. It's to give that sense of hope to other people. Hope, a witness to those in need of that perfect answer, Jesus Christ. Joy. The evidence or proof to all of our faith in a God who loves us. And the Holy Spirit, the one true source of power for us personally. The young man in the story reached a fork in the road. One of two choices. Neither one really seemed that hopeful. And that young man was afraid. And yet he worked a job that was very tough and physical. He seemed alone, and yet he had friends, and he was surrounded. But the loneliness he felt was the loneliness of being in a crowd and being all alone. And he felt hopeless, not a chance in the world. His options really, if you look at it, were very cowardly. You see, afraid of that option of suicide. Couldn't do it. 36 years ago, that young man stepped foot into a recovery program. And one day at a time, he took simple steps towards peace and hope. Most of you know I'm talking about that young man named Alan Figge. If you don't, that's my past. That's my history. I knew no hope. I knew no peace. I knew no joy. Daily, I walked in a recovery program. Went to meetings all the time. Made friends everywhere. Drank coffee. Didn't drink the beer anymore. Drank coffee. Oh, my goodness. And I tell people this, and they I know they're shaking their head thinking, he's a liar. He can't do it. I drank 50 to 60 cups of coffee a day. I know. See, you're shaking. Yeah, 50 to 60 cups of coffee a day. And guess what? I slept about 3 hours at night. And I couldn't figure out, why am I not sleeping that much? I'm not drinking. And I'm going to tell you a miracle that happened. 3 years into my walk in sobriety, 3 years, I met a guy named Larry. And this guy named Larry was a disciple maker. In fact, this guy, Larry, people would say, here he comes again. Watch out, because he's going to pray for you. Yeah. And I'm telling you what, we were drawn to Larry like iron is to a magnet. Like a firefly is to the light bulb. We were drawn and could not stay away from him. And Larry introduced me to Jesus Christ. And that started my journey of walking in the truth. I got to tell you, since that time, I've continued to trust in Christ. I'm a pretty simple man. Like I said, you heard earlier in the story, got a college degree. Don't really mean a whole lot. It did give me a nice education, but I pounded nails for 40 years. I mean, it's just what I did. But to trust in Christ, to know He had my best at heart, has been probably the biggest and best I could have ever added to a wish list. And through all this, I got to tell you, I've had peace in the midst of some horrible circumstances. Peace in walking through pain. And I've had joy in the midst of tears. Life does not always seem fair. But I can have joy, because joy is not contingent on my circumstance. Joy is contingent on my trusting in Him. And I've had hope that Jesus Christ will work all things to the good of those who love Him. So as we look at the Christmas gifts, you know what we do with Christmas gifts. Once we put the list together, we're thinking, okay, oh, I can't wait. I hope I get one, and then, well, I hope I get one and two. Boy, I hope I get all these gifts that I've written down, and I can unwrap them, and what joy it'll be. And I got to tell you, my grandson Michael, we celebrated birthdays, and he would just squeal with delight. I love to watch children opening gifts. They're just so open, and they just show the excitement that I hope we have when we look at that wish list of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We unwrap them. Children play with their gifts. We hopefully use the gifts that we're given and enjoy them. And so to us here at Meridian, and I'm about finished, so us, can we be fully empowered by the Holy Spirit? Can we just say, Lord, fill me to the brim, and then let me overflow with hope? Can we be like-minded and spirit unified, come together, one body, one goal, one purpose, one Savior, one baptism? Can we be filled with that evidential joy and hope that is our best calling card to the unknowing world? See, a lot of people don't know that we got the best secret in town. They don't know it. And I'm not going to fault them. I was right there with them. I thought I knew better. I thought my way was the best. Could we be known as the church that has peace for all people? Could we be known as that church that bubbles over with joy? Could we be known as that church that passes on hope in the midst of conflict? Could we be that church that gives away life-changing love? Could we be? 1 Peter 3:15. Boy, I like this verse. Always be prepared. The church used to sing, be ready. Now, I know the be ready was about a different thing. We're supposed to be ready for the coming of Christ. I understand that, but whenever I see the scripture, I think of that song, be ready, be ready, be ready when He comes. Be ready to give an answer to anyone and everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. You see, we carry a commodity. I was going to use this example, and I guess I will. My cousin raises turkeys. I know, you saw me wearing my turkey apron. My cousin raises turkey, and he raises about 300-400 a year, and then he sells them within the community. And so he called my dad. He said, Uncle Jim, how much does a live turkey go for? Now, years ago, the farmer would check the commodity market. They would know what a bushel of corn went for, what a bushel of wheat, what steers. And so my dad, now my dad can't see, so he wouldn't go to the paper, but he's got a little dot. And so he said, "Hey Siri." No, he said, "Alexa." We got a lot of choices. "Alexa, what's the price for a live turkey?" And he stumped her. I don't know. Now, how many times does that happen? We carry this beautiful, wonderful commodity called hope. It's an incredible commodity. In fact, if you've ever tasted hopelessness, you'll understand how huge that gift of hope is. If you've ever felt the turmoil of just things mounding over top of you, just the presence of hope gets us through to the next day, the next hour, the next minute. I've always said, and it's probably not new to me, people are dying to hear about hope. You know the suicide that I talked about earlier? And I was being honest and serious. I did not want to live. Not the way I was living. I did not want to live. There was too much pain. There was too much emptiness. It was just empty. Life was completely void and empty. And I think this was a gift from God. I was going to drive my vehicle, and I drove a microbus. I don't know how many, the old microbus. You know how much room there is between you and the tree that you would run into? Yeah, about that much, yeah. And my fear was that my mom and dad would know that I had committed suicide. That thought kept me from doing it, that one thought. Filled with that much despair, hopelessness, life did not mean anything. So as we prepare ourselves to give an answer, just a few common applications and I'm done. Application one, be transparent. Let God see you. Taylor, you were transparent. Probably one of the best messages I've ever heard. Transparent. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to be obedient. Lay our lives before Him. Number two, be available. You are not your own. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are not your own. Number three, be in the truth. Open the Word. Listen to Pastor Daniel. Ask the Spirit to teach you what you need to out of this book. Be in the truth. I'm telling you, the world is filled with half-truths. And the world is filled with lies. Know the truth. Counterfeits. You know what they study to find counterfeit bills? The real thing. Never study a counterfeit bill. You study the real thing. It should be us in the Word. The real thing. And then the last thing, oh my goodness, be in prayer. Be in prayer. Pray always. Paul, that wrote so much of the New Testament, you know what he'd start his letter, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you," and he'd close his letter, "I'm praying for you." And then in the middle of it, he'd say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," and in all things, he'd tell, "Hey, God gives you this uniform to put on, the armor of God, and we got all these things. Oh yeah, and by the way, stand firm and pray." Yeah, pray and pray and pray. If we're a praying church, I'm telling you, we are going to reach people that need to hear the gospel message. And lastly, I hope you're a disciple. I hope you're one that wants to know. I hope you're one that wants to hear God speaking to you saying, "Hey, I need you to do this. I want you to come closer. Oh, trust in me. Remember, trust in me." Yeah. And if you are a disciple, I pray that God makes you a discipler. I hope you pour into somebody else. I'm telling you, the joy that bubbles in, that I can even stand up here. Daniel, you don't know. This is incredible. Because I like to sit right there and listen and take notes, and I love that. But to stand up here, because God gave me a new life. Now, I know that He did that with you. But I was dirty. I was past dirty. I was filthy. And God looked down and said, "Nope, I'm seeking that boy. He's going to be one of mine." You know what? He wants that for each and every one of us. He wants that for people you know. He wants that for your neighbor. He wants that for, you know, the person that really irritates you? He wants that for them. In the program, and my problem was alcohol. In the program, Alcoholics Anonymous, they said, you know, if people cause you trouble, pray for them. And I had a boss. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I had problems with that guy. And I didn't always, now this was before Christ, I didn't always use the proper words. Because I'm sorry to say this, but I prayed for that, and I'm going to say three letters, and probably that S-O-B. And I didn't mean it badly, but he was just the biggest thorn. You got anybody in your life that's a big thorn? Pray for them, because you know what? They're not going to change. You're going to change. And that's what God wants in us, to love people. For us to change, to love people more. For us to see with our eyes, there's somebody that's hurting. There's somebody that's hurting. Can I pour into them? And it's not my wisdom. And it's not my hope. And it's not really, I mean, I can love people. But unconditionally? It's His love. And it's His love, joy. And it's His hope. Pass that on. The last thing that I wanted to do, to pray. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we want to be, more than anything else, Your disciples. For those that may be here, Lord, that aren't Your disciple, that they would come to know You. That they would come to receive that saving grace, the saving knowledge of the gospel message. Oh, what joy it is as we see new life. And for those of us, Lord, that have received that life, may we continue to grow. And may the hope that just bubbles over from the presence of Your Spirit in our life, may that hope go to people desperately in need of that message. You are our God. We are Your people, and we love You. Amen.